Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 4 if you did not stay there. We are going to get there. We're not going to start there, but you can keep your page there. Oftentimes in Scripture, we see types of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see them in the Old Testament, and they're pictures of what Christ is going to be like. And they're profitable for us to look at and to learn from and then compare them to Christ. There is one particular one that Jesus says to the Jews that they're not going to receive a sign except the sign of Jonah. And he referring there to 3 days in the grave, 3 days and three nights, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So will Christ be in the belly, in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, talking about his death and his resurrection. And Jonah is a type of the Lord in that way. But there's another aspect of Jonah's life that I think is really beneficial to think about. And it will hopefully, if it makes sense to me, hopefully it will make sense to you. When we look at Jonah, in this aspect, and then we compare that to Christ, it will highlight the difference. It's not the same thing. It's actually completely different, even though they're in the same situation. So hopefully as we go through, you'll understand what I'm getting at, and you'll see the contrast, and the contrast will highlight exactly what Christ has done. So I'm going to read for us Jonah chapter 1. Just follow along as I read, but keep your spot there in Mark chapter 4, where we're going to get to eventually. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Jehovah, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Jehovah and said, We beseech you, O Jehovah, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Jehovah, hast done as it pleased you. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah, and made vows. Now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So this is a story that is familiar to us, isn't it? It's not something that comes as a surprise, I think, to any of us. But I think as we think about it, there are some things to just take note of. Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet of the Lord. He wasn't just a regular old Israelite, if you will. He was a prophet. And he had been prophesying before this, according to all the Old Testament records. And we believe that he prophesied even after this was finished. And the Lord says to Jonah, I want you to go, and I want you to go to Nineveh. And we know the reason that the Lord wants that. He's going to save the souls of the people in Nineveh. And we know the reason Jonah doesn't want to go. It's because they were the enemy. Because they had been oppressing the people of God, the Israelites. And so he doesn't want to go. And so he says, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know that that's impossible. God is omnipresent. There is no place on this earth or inside this earth or outside this earth that you can go, that you can flee from the presence of God. But nonetheless, Jonah did it. And from my perspective, and this is just a guess on my part, but I think Jonah was hoping that what would happen is exactly what happened. That the storm was going to come. He's going to get in a ship, he's going to get on the sea, and God is going to send a storm. And it's going to mean Jonah's death. That's, I think, what Jonah's hoping for. He's hoping that that's the end for him. That he doesn't have to go to Nineveh, doesn't have to do what the Lord has asked him to do. And so, why was Jonah there in the ship? It's because of sin. That's why he's there. God didn't put him there. His sin, his disobedience from God, put him in the ship. And we see that from the reaction of the people in the ship. Like, what in the world have you done to cause this to happen when the lot fell upon Jonah? And that's the way of it. Sin causes problems. Sin causes problems in Jonah's life, and sin causes problems in our life. And we end up getting in the midst of a storm because of sin. Now, that's not to say that every storm that comes our way is because of sin. But the Lord sends chastening. To those whom he loves, he chastens. When we sin and we go astray, he's going to bring us back into his way. And so he sends a storm to Jonah, to the ship. And what was Jonah doing? He was asleep. He was asleep in the boat. And he was content with God's discipline. He was the other sailor. I'm the person who gets seasick very easily, and so if I was in that ship going up and down on the sea, I wouldn't have been asleep. I don't know how he could have been asleep, but in some way he's asleep in the boat, knowing and confident that God is going to strike him dead. That's what Jonah's expecting. That's what he's counting on, so that he doesn't have to preach to the Ninevites and see them converted. And so he's content with God's discipline. He knows it's coming, and he's content with it. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to preach to them. And so he thinks that his death would bring victory over God's will. He thinks his death is going to bring victory over God's will. That somehow or other he has outwitted God. And God had told him to go do this, and he's saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And therefore, God's going to have to kill me, and I'm okay with that. Now, that's a really foolish mentality to have, but that's his mentality. That's what he's thinking. And so, what happens? Well, we know what happens. The sailors come, and they say, what's going on? Because the lot has fallen to you. And he says, I've been fleeing from Jehovah. And then they say, oh boy, that's not good. And so they say, well, we're going to keep rowing. We're going to row as hard as we can to the land. Well, they don't know Jehovah very well, even though Jonah does. And they're not going to get it. They don't get anywhere. So they come back to him and they say, well, what can we do to cease this? And he says, throw me over. And like, we don't want to do that. And throw me overboard. And what is Jonah expecting when he gets thrown overboard? The ship to be safe and him to die. And he's going to die in the sea. And that's going to be it. And then in those last act, at least those guys will be all right. So what happens? Well, they throw him overboard. And as soon as he goes under the water, the sea goes calm. The sea goes calm. And we know Jonah is swallowed by the fish. But the sea goes calm. And what's the reaction of those men on that ship? They glorify God. They take whatever animal or whatever they had and they sacrifice it to the Lord. They build a fire on their ship to sacrifice something to Jehovah because they recognize that Jehovah is the master of the sea. He's the master of all things. And they give him glory and honor and they make vows unto him. We don't know anything else about those mariners. But if it had been us, it looks like it's their conversion. It's amazing how such an unwilling subject of Jonah is the tool that God uses to the conversion of many souls. We see these men and it sounds like they're converted on the ship. Later on, he goes to Nineveh and he starts shouting out, Nineveh is going to be destroyed in 40 days unless you repent unto Jehovah. And you can tell he's doing it unwillingly. And yet, the Spirit moves, and the city's converted. 400,000 people converted. A shocking situation. And he's an unwilling minister, but God uses him. And so there is that story for Jonah. He's asleep in the ship, right? He's asleep in the boat. And that's a wonderful picture and contrast of Jesus, who was asleep in the boat, right? We have that in Mark chapter 4. We read that in our opening. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is asleep on the boat from verse 35 to verse 41. As I get over there. It says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Why was Jesus in the ship? Why was he in the boat? Well, certainly he had just finished teaching, and he wants to go on the other side. And that's the legitimate local reason. But when you look in the grander scheme of things, he was there because of sin. Not his own sin, but our sin. He became flesh because of sin. He would have never been in the boat if it hadn't been for our sin. But he was in the boat in the midst of the storm because of sinners, because of us, because of his disciples, because he came to earth to die on their behalf. So Jonah was in the boat because of sin, but it was his own sin. Jesus was in the boat because of sin, but it was not his own sin. It was our sin. He came to sacrifice himself on our behalf. And you see that contrast there between the two of them. Both of them asleep in the boat. Both of them there because of sin. Both of them perfectly content with God and what he was going to do. Jonah was content with God's discipline, with what he thought was going to be his punishment, his death. He was content with that. They throw me overboard after they wake him up. I'll go into the sea and you guys will be okay. Jesus, when they wake him up, what does he say? Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? It's me. I'm in the boat with you. Well, there's no reason for you to be afraid. He is perfectly content with God's protection over him. That whatever God is going to do, he's perfectly content with it. There's a similarity there, isn't there? But it's a completely different purpose. He's content where Jonah was content. Jonah was content because he thought that's the end for him. But Jesus is content with God's protection, with God's watch care over him, so that he will be all right, no matter what happens, no matter what comes his way. At the same time, you have Jonah over here thinking, well, my death is going to be giving me victory over God's will. I won't have to do what God asked me to do. Little did he know that he wasn't going to die when he was cast into the sea. He was going to become a type of Christ where he's going to be in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. But he thought that victory, he thought he would have victory over God's will. Jesus, on the other hand, knew that his death would bring victory through God's will. A very, very different outcome. But both through death, and both through God's will. Jonah was hoping for his death and having victory over God's will. Jesus knows he's going to die, not yet, but he knows he's going to die for God's will to be accomplished, to the saving of sinners. And you see that contrast. What happens? Well, Jesus, he says, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And he calms the sea. Jonah calmed the sea by being cast into it. Jesus calmed the sea by speaking to it. Both brought glory to God. Both brought glory to God. Here is Jonah being cast into the sea, and the sailors think, well, there's no one who could have done this except the God who caused this. There's no way this is a coincidence. From the raging storm to suddenly a flat calm. And they can't find Jonah. They worship God because of it. And here are the disciples in the midst of this, of a similar situation. They're on the Sea of Galilee and they're rowing for all they're worth and can't get anywhere. And it says that the ship was full. Not full of people. Full of water. And they're thinking, we're sloshing around here. We're going down. Jesus, what are you going to do? And he says, peace, be still. And they glorify God. And the other parallel passage, he says, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They recognize him, that he is God. That he is the Messiah. That he is the one sent from heaven. And they glorify God because of it. And you see, and I hope you see the similarities, but the contrast between the two. They're both asleep in the boat for different reasons, but the outcome is God's glory. The outcome is God's glory. One is hoping for death to have victory over God's will, and the other one is looking for death so that he will do God's will, and he will save his people through his death. And you think about that, and when you start to ponder it and consider it, through his death, Jesus can remove the storm of sin in our lives. Through his death. Through what he went through for us, he calms the sea of sin. That's what's raging. That's what put them both in the boat. Jonah's in the boat because of his sin. Jesus is in the boat because of our sin. But through his death, he brings peace with God. He removes the sin. He removes those that raging within us and gives us peace with the Heavenly Father. That's an amazing thing that he does through his death. And not only that, he gives us peace in the midst of storms. Whether it's a physical storm or an emotional storm or whatever storm we might be going through in life. If we are his child, we can have peace in the midst of the difficulty because he is in the boat with us. Because we know he's for us. What can be against us? Because we know that just like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, if God rescues me, we'll glorify God. If he doesn't rescue me, I'm with him. Either way, God is glorified. Either way, no matter what comes along, no matter what storm is raging, God will be glorified. And that's exactly what happens. The storm of Jonah, God is glorified. The storm with Jesus, God is glorified. When we sit in the midst of the storms of our life, we look to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and God is glorified. If we're in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a tribulation, we can have peace, and God will be glorified. Because we know who's in the boat with us. We know that he's there to take care of us. And we say, Lord, glorify yourself in this situation. Glorify yourself in this moment. Whatever it is you're doing, whatever you're bringing about, I don't know what it is, but glorify yourself. Those disciples, they didn't have a clue what was going to happen. I mean, those men had been on the Sea of Galilee many times, and their boat was full of water. They were afraid, and they turned to Jesus, and he saved them. Jonah wasn't afraid when he should have been afraid. He should have had fear because he was trying to flee from God. He was there because of his own sin. Well, whether we're there because of our sin or whether we're there because of trouble and tribulation, regardless of the purpose of the storm, we can find peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's an interesting thing. Recognize the word nave. It's the old style of church buildings, right? You see them in a cross formation. But that center portion was called the nave. That's actually the Latin word for ship. It's a Latin word for ship. But then they called it the nave because they figured that this is where Jesus is with us in the boat. That he's with us. That's where the name came from. And then they had that in their mind constantly, that Jesus is with us in the ship. He's in the midst of the storms with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to give us peace with God. It doesn't mean a peaceful life. That means peace with God. And as we follow him, one day we will see him and we will glorify God because of it. That's the actions of Jesus through his ship. Through the midst of the storm. And hopefully as we think about the similarities, the contrast really springs out to see what Christ has done for us by becoming flesh and being in the ship, in the metaphorical sense, with us as for our sin, for dying for his people. And so we point you to Jesus tonight. Amen.